Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Rashi podcast for Parashat Vayakel Pekudei. Visit www.webyeshiva.org for more information on our fully interactive online yeshiva. At the beginning of Parashat Vayakel, the first of the two parashiyot that we read this week, we read a list of the many and varied materials that Bnei Yisrael donated for the building of the Mishkan. Tchelet v'argaman, tolat shani, orot elim, adamim, shemen lama'or, shemen hamishcha, ktorat hasamim, avnei shoam, avnei miluim, a long and varied list. But none of these items is as intriguing as the material which we are told was used to create the kiyor, the wash basin of the Mishkan. Shmot perek lamedchet pasuk chet. We are told towards the end of Parshat Vayakel about the actual making of the kiyor. Vayasat hakiyor nechoshet, ve'et kano nechoshet, b'mar'ot hatzovot asher tzav'u petach ohel mo'ed. He made the basin of bronze, its pedestal of bronze, with the mirrors of the assembling women, right? Hatzovot, right? Which I'll again translate here as assembling women, the women who assembled. Who had assembled Asher Tzav'u at the entrance of the Mishkan, at the tent of appointment, meaning Ohel Moed. Now, this pasuk is interesting for many reasons. First of all, what's the deal with the women, with the mirrors? Second of all, who are these Tzav'ot? And thirdly, why are we being told about them? To complete this picture, right, of this barely sketched, very vague reference, Rashi steps in and quotes a midrash. B'mar'ot hatzovot, b'not Yisrael hayu b'yadan mar'ot. Right, the women of Israel had, the daughters of Israel, the women of Israel had mar'ot, had mirrors. Shera'ot bahen k'shehen mitkashtot, into which they would look when they were adorning themselves. And even those, even those mirrors, they did not withhold from bringing as a contribution for the Mishkan. In the context of the great enthusiasm, the great generosity that Bnei Yisrael showed when giving donations for the Mishkan, the women did not withhold these mirrors. V'haya mu'as Moshe behen, mipnei she'asuyim liyetzer hara. Moshe was disgusted by these mirrors because they are created, their purpose was to incite the evil inclination. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kabel. Hashem says to him, you must accept these mirrors. Ki elu chavivin alai min hakol. Because these mirrors are not just mirrors, these are special mirrors. Right? And they are more beloved to me than any of the other donations. Sha'al yedehem he'emidu hanashim tzva'ot rabot b'mitzrayim. Right, because of these mirrors, the women in Mitzrayim, right, the women of Bnei Israel in Mitzrayim, succeeded in establishing huge multitudes, tzva'ot, in Egypt. How so? K'shehayu ba'alehem yigeim ba'avodat parech, hayu holchot u'molichot lehem ma'achal u'mishteh, u'ma'achilot otam v'notzlot ha'mar'ot, v'chol achat ro'eh atzma im ba'ala b'mar'ah, u'mishtalto b'dvarim lomar, ani na'am imcha. U'mitoch kach mevi'ot lebaalehem lidei ta'ava v'nizkakot lehem, u'mitabrot v'yoldot sham.
When
the men of Bnei Israel were exhausted from the avodat parech of Mitzrayim, from the crushing labor that they were given to do when they were slaves in Egypt, the women would go and they would bring them food, make a picnic, and drink, and feed them, and they would take the mirrors, and each of them would look at herself and her husband together in the mirror, and she would entice her husband with words, saying, see, I'm more beautiful than you are. And thereby, they would awake their husband's desire for them, and they would conceive and they would give birth there. Right? And this, right, is all a midrash, which kind of like is also found in, as an explanation under the context of the pasuk, tachat hatapoch oraticha, right? Under the apple tree I did arouse you. So Rashi's purpose with this interpretation, right, which is quite clearly a midrash, which he is quoting. But his purpose here is to explain a number of different things. First of all, very technically, he explains the word hatsovot. Like, what are these tsovot, the assembled women? What does the tsovot refer to? What does that word refer to? This refers to the fact that, again, she'al yedehem, right, that these women, because of these women, through by using the mirrors, he'emidu hanashim tzva'ot rabot v'mitzrayim, right, tzva'ot, because they established tzva'ot. That's the explanation, according to this midrash that Rashi is quoting, for what these tzva'ot are, right? The tzva'ot are the women who established tzva'ot, multitudes, right? Again, the tzva'ot here, right, what are the tzva'ot that were established by these women? The multitudes of Bnei Israel that came from them. Because they enticed their husbands to desire them, and thereby they were able to continue multiplying the population of Am Yisrael in Egypt, despite the difficult situation that Am Yisrael was in at the time. But it should be noted, for the sake of exegesis here, right, that Bnei Israel, in a number of places, in Sefer Shemot, right, are referred to as tzva'ot, right, or in some way somehow related to those words. For example, when Bnei Israel are leaving Mitzrayim in Shemot Perek Yudbet, Vayihi Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh Hotzi Hashem Bnei Israel Me'eretz Mitzrayim Al Tzva'otam, right, the multitudes of the armies, as it were, of Bnei Israel were left Mitzrayim. Right, and that phrase is used in a number of different forms in different places in Sefer Shemot. So those multitudes of Bnei Israel, those armies of people that left Mitzrayim, were the direct result, according to this midrash, of the actions of these women and their mirrors. So that's Rashi's first exegetical purpose in bringing this midrash. Right, he's given an explanation of the word tzovot. Rashi is also coming to explain here something about the mirrors. Not only do we want to understand who these tzovot are, right? Something which the midrash explains, but we also want to understand the mirrors. And the midrash also provides an explanation of the significance of these mirrors, but also kind of leads us to an understanding of what's unusual or difficult about these mirrors to begin with. The midrash suggests that perhaps the mirrors were out of place here. Right, that there were many different types of gifts, donations given to the Mishkan, but perhaps the midrash is suggesting the mirrors should not have been given. Right? And that is clear in the midrash, as stated through Moshe's reaction to the gift of the mirrors. Right, Moshe doesn't want to accept them because he is repulsed by them. Why? Because mirrors are something that are used to incite, as the Midrash says, to incite the evil inclination. Right, what exactly that phrase is talking about and what kind of evil inclination is being incited here, we'll talk about a little bit later. But even without going into the depths of human nature and the Yetzer Hara, you know, one can understand maybe why a mirror is not appropriate. For example, if we want to think of a similar context, right? When we daven, we're not supposed to daven in front of a mirror. Right? And there are different explanations given for this, either because it's a distraction, right? You can't really be concentrating on your tefillot if you're, you know, straightening out your hair and checking out your makeup. Or because some say that it's almost like a sort of avodah zarah. Instead of praying to God, it looks almost as if you're praying to yourself. And so for similar reasons, one might think that perhaps mirrors aren't appropriate in the Mishkan either. Right? It just perhaps someone's right. One can understand somebody's reaction. Maybe that would be the case. And so the midrash that Rashi brings is explaining why it was good to have these mirrors in the Mishkan, right? And that, you know, is the clear message of the Midrash, right? Where Hashem explicitly answers to Moshe's reaction of repulsion regarding the mirrors, and Hashem says, no, these mirrors are not just stam mirrors. These mirrors are dearer to me than anything else because there's a story behind them, right? Let me tell you the story now, and you'll understand why it's important that these mirrors be here. And there's yet another purpose in Rashi's bringing of this midrash. In addition to understanding who the Tzavot were, and also understanding something about the nature of the mirrors and why they're placed within the Mishkan, Rashi is also trying to explain why the mirrors were specifically used for the kiyor, for the wash basin. And that Rashi explains in his second comment on the same pasuk, right, on Shmot Lamed Chet Pasuk Chet. Right, Rashi continues in his commentary. It says, "V'na'aseh ha'kiyar mehem," the wash basin was made from these mirrors, "shehu lasum shalom ben ish li'ishto," because the purpose of the kiyar was to make peace, create peace between husband and wife, "lehashkot mimayim shebetocho et shekinala ba'ala v'nistera." And why is that? Why, according to Rashi here, are these mirrors being used specifically for the kiyor? Because the water from the kiyor was used in the case of an isha sota, right? When there is a woman who is suspected by her husband of being an adulterer, right? There's the laws of what you were supposed to do with such a woman, right? A woman who is suspected of adultery by her husband, but there is no proof of what he's claiming, right? That she has to drink the what's called the mei sota, the water of the sota, the base of which, the actual water of which is taken from the kiyor. So according to Rashi, right, the wash basin was made out of the mirrors because the purpose of the kiyor, right, of the wash basin, was to bring peace between a man and his wife, right, by drinking the water from the kiyor, right, the sota water. The suspected wife is exonerated, and thereby peace is brought between the man and his wife. And so the mirrors, which in their earlier usage had also served to bring husbands and wives together, were appropriate material with which to make this kiyor. This connection between the mirrors and the test of the sota, right, and the kiyor, of course, is mentioned again by Rashi in his commentary on the verses which discuss the laws of the sota, right, in Sefer Bamidbar. There, however, it's interesting to note that he explains the connection, which we just looked at, in a significantly different manner. There in Bamidbar Perek Hei Pasuk Yud Zayin, we're told, V'lakach ha-kohen mayim kidoshim b'kli charis. Right? The kohen, in the case of the sota, takes holy water into a vessel. U'min ha'afar asher yeh b'karkar mishkan, yikach ha-kohen metan alamayim. And he takes dust from the ground of the Mishkan, and he put it into the water, right? So here's his Mayim Kedoshim. So Rashi says on the Pasuk, Mayim Kedoshim, Shekichu Bakiyor, right? Why are they called Mayim Kedoshim? Because they were somehow sanctified by being in the Kiyor in the Mishkan, right? He understands this according to the Terash of Baal Peh that explains Mayim Kedoshim in this manner. And then he goes on to say, Lefi Shena'a Ser minechoshet marot hatzovot. Right, that the kiyor, this kiyor, which sanctified the water, was made using the bronze mirrors of the tzovot. Vezo parsha midarchehen shehayu nivalot lebaalehen b'mitzrayim tachat hatapuach. Vezo kilkila la'acher tivadek bo. How does Rashi explain the connection here? The wash basin was made from the copper of the assembled women's mirrors, while this woman, the sota, departed from their ways. Right? This woman, who was being checked by the water from the kiyor, which was made from these mirrors, departed from the ways of those women, the original owners of the mirrors. How so? They used the mirrors. When have they used these mirrors? As we saw in the midrash. They use them in order to have relations with their husbands in Egypt, beneath the apple tree, tachat ha-tapuach or aticha. Right? They worked hard to become closer with their husbands. But this, the sota, corrupted herself with a stranger. Let her be tested by this kiyor, by it. So here, right, while previously Rashi had emphasized the role of the kiyor as bringing the wrongfully accused women back to their husbands, here he underscores the opposite role of the Beis Din by contrasting the unfaithful behavior of the actual adulteress with the fidelity of their virtuous foremothers. Again, in the first Rashi that we looked at, right, the kiyor is that which brings husbands and wives back together by exonerating the accused wife. Right? And this is appropriate because the kiyor, right, was made of the mirrors of those women who had also, right, been brought closer to their husbands. Here, Rashi is emphasizing the negative side. Right? Here, he's saying that the sota had corrupted herself, had driven herself away from her husband, corrupted herself with another man, right? So she has to be tested by the water which was taken from the basin of the virtuous women, of the women who had brought themselves closer to their husbands in Egypt. Right? One has to wonder why in the first Rashi, in the first comment in Rashi, Rashi chooses to go with the layout, so to speak, of the Midrash, and emphasize the positive, right? That the waters of the connection between the kiyor and the mirrors is the idea of bringing husband and wife together. Whereas here, he emphasizes the opposite, right? She's talking about the same thing. In both cases, we're talking about the sota and the kiyor and the women in Egypt. So why does he emphasize the negative in Sefer Bamidbar while he emphasizes the positive in Sefer Shemot? The difference can be understood, right, if you do a careful examination of the context of each of Rashi's comments. Rashi's explanation of Bamidbar Heyud Zayin, right, the pasuk, which is explaining the use of the water of the kiyor in the context of the laws of the sota, emphasizes, right there he emphasizes the punishment of the guilty sota, right, of the guilty woman. That is part of his interpretation of the sota test as described in the scenario of testing an actual adulteress, as it's presented in Bamidbar Hay. To clarify that again, in Rashi's comment, in the second Rashi that we looked at, where he's explaining the laws of the water that is given to the sota, right, in the context of the laws concerning the sota, right there, he is dealing with the sota in the context of the Torah's explanation of what to do with a woman who has actually done what her husband is accusing her of. Meaning, the scenario that is presented by Bamidbar Perakei isn't a neutral situation, meaning it's not the situation where there's a man who accuses his wife and we don't know whether she was guilty or not. This is what you have to do. No, the Torah is giving a very specific explanation here, right? Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Limor, right? Perakei Pasuk Yud Aleph, Daber el Bnei Israel va'armata alehem, Ish Ish ki tiste ishto u'ma'ala v'ma'al, v'shachav Ish ota shichvat zera v'ne'elam eine isha v'nistera v'hi nitzma'a v'ed ein ba v'hi lo nitzpasa. Right? The Torah is presenting the case not of a woman. About which we don't know if she's guilty. The Torah, the objective teller of this law, is telling us, I am describing a case of a woman who is guilty. The problem is that there is no proof of her guilt, right? or the husband or the Kohen does not know that she is guilty. But the Torah is describing a case. The woman is guilty. The question is how is she dealt with, right? She's guilty. We just don't know whether she's guilty or not, meaning the fact is that she's guilty, but it is not known to her husband by fact. There is no proof of her guilt, and therefore, what happens to her, right? So when Rashi then proceeds to explain all of the various laws that follow regarding the בסוטה, he takes every opportunity to call attention to the women's depravity, right? If you look at the, we don't have time to go into it now in this context, but if you look at the Rashi's comments on the psukim that follow, in Perek Hey, psukim Tetvav, Tetzayin, Yudzayin, right? Rashi over and over again is emphasizing the negative aspects of such a woman. And again, it's because of the context of what he's explaining, right? Again, that in the Torah, the case, the scenario that is being described is a guilty woman, right? Not a woman about whom it is not known if she is guilty. So in this context, it's only natural that Rashi would emphasize when talking about the water of the Kiyor and the Kiyor itself, he would emphasize the negative aspect of this woman, right? She is guilty of distancing herself from her husband, right? So she should be tested by the water that comes from the Kiyor, which was made of the mirrors of the women who were so very different than she. Rashi's interpretation on our pasuk, however, right, on Shmot Lamed Chet Pasuk Chet, right, is coming to explain something altogether different. There, right, as we already noted, Rashi is trying to understand who were these tzovot, right? Who were these anonymous women who assembled at the Mishkan and donated their mirrors? Why are their mirrors significant? And why were they used specifically for the Kiyor? Right? His exegetical goal is an entirely different thing due to the context in which it is found. And so once again, right, in the comment on the pasuk in Parashat Vayakel, Rashi is saying, oh, these tzovot were these righteous women who used their mirrors to bring themselves closer to their husbands so that they can ensure the continuity of Am Yisrael. Right? And that is why they are mentioned here. So in that context, right, Rashi can follow the Midrash that is found on that Pasuk, and he can emphasize the positive quality of those women, just as they used their mirrors in order to come closer to their husbands. So too, their mirrors in their second Gilgal, in their second usage, also continued that work of bringing husband and wife together, of exonerating innocent women and bringing them back together with their husbands. I think that there's another level, another layer of meaning in what Rashi, quoting again, the Midrash, is trying to say here. When Moshe in the Midrash wants to reject the donation of these tzovot, of their mirrors, Rashi says that Moshe was disgusted by them. Why? Mipnei she'asuyim le'yetzer hara. Right? That mirrors, in Moshe's view, were something that were created in order to entice the yetzer hara, the evil inclination. Now this choice of words which Rashi makes here, right, Mipnesh Asuyim the Yetzer Hara, isn't exactly what was written in the Midrash. In the Midrash Moshe also has a very strong reaction, right? He suggests that the legs of the people who brought these mirrors should be broken, right? Another very interesting detail in the Midrash, which is worth looking into. But here Rashi doesn't mention any breaking of legs, but he does choose, and again I say choose because it doesn't say this in the Midrash itself, that mirrors were something that are connected to the Yetzer Hara, right? Something which women would use in order to beautify themselves, right? Which in the eventual context of the Midrash we see that they do it for a positive thing, but the Midrash is suggesting it's not always used for a positive thing. It's possible that mirrors could be used for some very negative things. Now, when you're first reading the Midrash, you might think that what is being referred to here is simply, interest in physical things or interest in material things, right? As opposed to interest in more spiritual things, right? That mirrors don't have their place in the Mishkan because, you know, mirrors emphasize all of those things which make us very human, but don't necessarily emphasize our spiritual side. However, when you see it in the context of the rest of the Midrash, particularly the connection to the the kiyor and the fact that the kiyor was used for the water of the sota, suddenly that choice of words that Rashi makes, right, she'asuyim li'etzer hara, takes on another layer of meaning. So that what we have here is a strengthening of the connection between the story that Hashem tells Moshe, right, the story which explains why these mirrors are special, and the usage of the kiyor for specifically the water of the sota. Because the kiyor was not used only for the water of the sota, right? The water of the kiyor was also used to wash the hands and the feet of the kohanim, right? It had other purposes, right? The water of the sota is one very specific, one could even say relatively rare and insignificant, maybe not insignificant, but certainly relatively rare usage of the water of the kiyor. And yet it's being emphasized here, right? In Rashi's understanding of the ma'ot of the tzavot, right? So what's happening here, basically? What's this additional layer of meaning that I believe Rashi might be hinting to? That those women in Mitzrayim, who were the original owners of these mirrors, were perhaps also women who were misunderstood, or perhaps a better choice of words is, who were wrongfully accused, right? And we see this judging by Moshe's reaction, right? The reaction of the Midrash is, break their legs. And the reaction in Moshe's reaction is, this is inappropriate, right? It's he's disgusted by the mirrors, right? Because there's something that is used for a Yetzer Hara. So maybe his understanding of what these women were using the mirrors for is incorrect, right? He misjudged these women and their mirrors. And Hashem sets him straight. Hashem says to him, no, these women and these mirrors are very special, right? They use these mirrors for a very special thing, right? And then he goes on to tell the rest of the story. Right? Understood in this way, the connection becomes even clearer, the connection to the sota, right? These women were misunderstood, and we see that ultimately they were actually righteous women. And so too, the women who are given to drink from the kiyor, which is made from these mirrors, are also women, right, in the context of the Rashi that we see here, who were misunderstood and misjudged and wrongly accused. And so appropriately, right, just as the mirrors initially were used to bring the women closer to their husbands, the water from the kiyor made of those mirrors also brought the women closer to their husbands. But also, just as in the Midrash, these women were initially accused of wrongdoing and then exonerated, so too, the women who drink from the water of the kiyor were initially wrongfully accused and then exonerated. So now suddenly, the difference between the two Rashis makes perfect sense. Right here, it only makes sense to be viewing the situation of the sota from the positive side of the water of the sota clearing the name of the woman who is really a righteous woman, but who has been wrongfully accused. Whereas in the context of Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Hei, there, the context of the Torah, which the Torah itself presents the case of the sota as a guilty woman who has to be put to this test, well, there, it also makes perfect sense to present it as Rashi presented it there, right? As the punishment of the woman who is so different than these other righteous women who we have heard about. Back to our Rashi from our parasha, we return to our original question, our initial question of what Rashi is trying to do here. He has explained the significance of the mirrors. He has explained why these mirrors were used for the kiyor, and he has also explained who these tzovot are, both on the level of the great thing that they did for Am Yisrael while in Mitzrayim, but also within the context of the kiyor. But these were women, like the sotot later on, who were initially accused of something wrong, and then their names were cleared. The study of these Rashis, both the Rashi from Parashat Vayakel and the Rashi from Bamidbar Perakei, once again shows Rashi's great attention to context, how his commentary is always going to be correct within the context in which he is speaking, and also his great attention to the psukim themselves and the words that he's trying to explain, and how he will take the same midrash and apply it differently to two different psukim in order to best explain the pasuk as the words appear and as they appear in the context in which they are found. Shabbat shalom u'mevorach.